Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
We concluded the Psalm series 2 weeks ago, and last Sunday, Kyle did a great job preaching out of 1 Peter. And today we're going to start a new series, and we'll be looking at the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Luke chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 1 to 4. If you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this Advent Sunday. As we look forward to your return and as we look back to your first coming, Jesus Christ, we pray that as we draw our attention to your word, your holy word, that you would reveal yourself to us today. May we rely upon your word always. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please be seated. So Advent is also the beginning of the Christian calendar. So the new Christian calendar actually starts today. And the candle that we lit, they have names to it. I don't know if you know all the names, but today's candle is the hope candle. Hope is an interesting word. Because you could hope for something that's certain, or you could hope for something that's not so certain. I have friends out in the West Coast. They live in Southern California. And when they plan for an outdoor event, it's almost guaranteed that it's not going to rain. It's almost guaranteed that the weather is just going to be perfect. So they don't hope for good weather when they're planning an outdoor event. However, here in the East Coast, we pray, we get down on our knees, and there was an outdoor wedding a couple weeks ago, and the rain came down as soon as the bride started walking down the aisle, and it was an outdoor wedding. And so when we hope for good weather, we're not really hoping for certain things in that case. It's an expression that we use. But in the Bible, when we talk about hope, we want to make sure that we are certain in the things that we hope for. And I don't know about you, but I've always been taught that the Bible is certain. So we're going to be looking at the Bible. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke. And we need to make sure that we understand that the Gospel, the Word of God, is certain, that it is absolute truth. Now, I'm really proud of our congregation because 2 weeks ago when I preached, I mentioned something about you two, and the following week, one of you came up to me and said, I did a little fact-checking on you, Pastor Jay, and what you said about you two is absolutely true. Right? So people are fact-checking my sermons. That's good. But what is this fact-checking? Fact-checking is we need to make sure that everything that's written is true. And today, we're going to be looking at, like I said, the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. And of course, the Gospel of Luke was written by Luke. What do we know about Luke? Sorry? He's a doctor. Okay. So Luke is a doctor. Do we know anything else about Luke? quiet. He was a Gentile Christian. Yes. So he was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. So he's a doctor. So the being a doctor back then is like today. You have to be highly educated. So he's a highly educated individual. He was also Greek. So his preference in writing is Greek. So when he quotes the Old Testament, he quotes the Old Testament that's translated into Greek. Okay. He was also a companion of Paul. So he traveled a lot with Paul. So if you look at Philemon 24, Paul lists a lot of names, and then he also mentions Luke, and then he calls them my fellow workers. So Luke was a fellow worker. He came alongside Paul on many of his missionary journeys. In Colossians 4 is where we find out that he's a doctor, and he's also a Gentile. And the Apostle Paul calls him our dear friend or our beloved Luke. So he was well-liked. And also in 2 Timothy, right before Paul's execution, he mentions that only Luke was with him. So you can see that Luke is a very loyal guy. He's highly educated. He's very careful in what he writes in. As a matter of fact, the Gospel of Luke is the longest gospel in the Bible. It's out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke is the longest, and he also wrote Acts. So if you add Luke and Acts together, that makes up 25% of the New Testament. So 25% of the New Testament was written by a Gentile doctor named Luke. So with that as our background, let's look at the first four verses of Luke. So the first four verses of Luke in Greek is one long sentence. And for the most part, the Bible is written in marketplace Greek. It's a very simple Greek for the common people to understand. However, the book of Hebrews was not written that way. It's more towards classical Greek. And also, parts of Luke is written in classical Greek. So this is how we know that Luke was a highly educated man. So the prologue, the first four verses, is written in classic Greek. So those, if you're planning on going to seminary and you want to study Greek, do not study the book of Hebrews. Do not study the Gospel of Luke in Greek. But it is written in classic Greek. And just let's look at it together. This is the NIV. It says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. If you have your ESV Bible opened up, you'll see that it starts with inasmuch. In the King James Version, it starts as for as much as. But here in the NIV, they choose to ignore that word. So we're just going to start with by saying, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. So the account that have been fulfilled among us means it's something that had happened in our lifetime. That's what he means. And it also means that it's a historical event. So he's talking about many have written about the historical events that had taken place among us. Now, instead of saying, draw up an account of the things that have been, that happened among us, that's how we would write a historical account, right? This is what happened. This is what happened. Here, Luke chooses to use the word fulfilled. Fulfilled among us. And that's interesting. And that's very intentional because he's already pointing to Christ. Concerning that word, have been fulfilled among us, Tim Keller says this, in Jesus Christ, history is fulfilled. History is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Many times, when people look at the Bible, they often say, well, I'm not sure how certain the Bible is. It could be just made up stuff. It could be a legend. And so I'm not so sure about this Bible. Or some people want to believe in God, but they want like somebody to explain logically that God exists. And sometimes in apologetics, when I talk to people, they're trying to convince people using science and logic to tell them that God exists and how we need to believe in God. So that's all trying to satisfy the mind. But what's interesting is God fulfilled history through Jesus Christ. He sent his only son. So it's really through a person. It's really through the person Jesus Christ that we're able to truly know who God is. Dick Lucas said this in his Matthew 11 sermon. He said, a man once said to a pastor that he would be happy to believe in Christianity if the cleric could only give him a watertight argument for its truth. Just give me a watertight argument for the truth, then I'll be happy to believe in Christianity. But here's what the pastor replied. He says, what if God hasn't given us a watertight argument, but rather a watertight person? So it's not about winning the argument. It's about pointing people to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's really what the gospel is about. The gospel is about Jesus. The gospel is not a self-help book. It's not a book of instructions. If you approach the Bible that way, you're going to fail every time. But the Bible, the gospel, is about Jesus, who he is, why he came, and how he's able to save us. That's really what the Bible is about. So the gospel is about Jesus, and that's really what Luke is trying to set up here in the first verse. And then he continues, because we're gonna see that Luke wasn't really, he wasn't an apostle, so he didn't directly learn from Jesus. And he's also a Gentile, right? But he was able to research. He was able to discover all these truths during the time when eyewitnesses of Jesus were still alive. So in verse 2, it says, just as they were handed down to us by those from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So he's trying to set up the gospel, saying that the gospel is about Jesus, but also the gospel is true. I highlighted that word handed down because that word handed down, it's a technical term. And culturally, they're very different than us today. So the idea of handed down is something that you learn carefully, that you memorize and you internalize and you receive from a teacher. Or there's an idea of authority behind what's handed down. So you took things very seriously when something was handed down, when something was passed down that way. So handed down, passed down. It was an authority that was passed down. It was a teaching that was passed down. So that's what was passed down to the eyewitnesses and the servants of the word. So what is he saying here? He's basically saying, here are my sources. That word handed down, passed down, the Apostle Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians a couple times. Here's one instance. It's the same idea. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. So that's the same word when the Paul is like, the things that I've taught you. So it wasn't something that was handed down lightly. It was received with the utmost respect. And they treated it with authority. So, and as far as the sources for Luke's writing, right? You know, he says, I've done the fact checking. That's what he's trying to say. And my sources were firsthand eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Servants of the word, that's another way of saying apostles. Firsthand eyewitnesses are eyewitnesses who were directly had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many scholars believe that because of the detail of the birth of Jesus, that Luke actually spent time with Mary. And he got a lot of the information from Mary and others who spent time with Jesus. So he's saying the source for what I have written are eyewitnesses and apostles, people who were sent by Jesus. So here are my sources. So if you want to fact check me, this is what I've done. So he's trying to assure the readers of the Gospel of Luke that you don't need to do fact checking. Because my sources are the people who spend time with Jesus and people who were sent by Jesus. And as a matter of fact, many of them were, I mean, they were still alive when he was writing this. So if he wrote anything that was not true, they would have come out and say, the Gospel of Luke is no good. He's lying. We want to jump all over that today, don't we? When somebody says something that's not the truth, you hear about it. It gets posted online and it starts trending of all these things that somebody said. And that's the truth. That's true as well. This wasn't written centuries after the eyewitnesses had passed away. So that's another reason why we could be confident in the Word of God. Amen? We could be so confident in the Word that it is truth. So the gospel is about Jesus Christ, and the gospel is true. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning. Okay. So Luke, the highly educated doctor. Luke, the historian. Some scholars say Luke was also a theologian and also a pastor. So here's Luke, the doctor, historian, theologian, and pastor. He carefully investigated everything from the beginning. So he didn't take someone's word for it. He did the investigation. He fact-checked everything. He said, I too decided to write an orderly account for you. I too decided to write an orderly account. Orderly account doesn't necessarily mean a chronological account. But orderly account means a logical account. So for the most part, if you look at Luke's writing, and we're going to be looking at it together, it starts with John the Baptist, and it goes through the ascension of Christ, and that's the Gospel of Luke. And for the most part, it is in chronological order. However, if there are certain themes, theological themes, that Luke wanted to put together, he may have changed the order around. But that's logical. It's not random. So he decided to write an orderly account for you. And then he addresses this to Most Excellent Theophilus. That title, Most Excellent, is reserved for people in high position. And that name, Theophilus, if you break it apart, it translates to Theos, Phileo. So it's a lover of God or friend of God, which is a cool name, right? Theophilus. So no one knows if this is an actual person. Scholars love to write books about this. We don't know. That's a final answer. But what we do know is this person probably existed. He probably was someone in high position. This person probably was a Christian. And he probably had questions about the Christian faith. He probably had doubts at times. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I have doubts. If you're honest with yourself, you'll also have doubts as well. So what do we do with our doubts? Do we go with our feelings? Here, clearly, Luke is setting the table saying, you need to come and read the Bible, read the gospel. When you have doubts, read the Bible. Don't run to the internet looking for the answers. Read the gospel, read the Bible. Amen? Yeah. When you have doubts, we should have the confidence in knowing that this is absolute truth. This is truth. This is about Jesus. This is truth. And as we struggle, let's struggle with the Bible open. Even as a community, if we have to struggle together as a community, let's struggle with the Bible open. That's what Luke is trying to encourage his readers. How do I know this? Because let's look at verse 4. It says here, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Okay. So there are things that you have been taught. How do you know? How do you know that the things that you have been taught is truth? Here is the answer. It's if it's in the Bible. There's other translators who would translate, instead of the certainty of things that you may know, he would say, so that you may know the exact truth. That you may know the exact truth. Those words are so precise, aren't they? Exact truth. That means there's no wiggle room. So even if you don't feel like certain things, don't respond with your feelings. But let's go to the truth. Theophilus was a man with many questions. In life, we're going to have many questions. So when we have these questions, Luke is encouraging us, the Bible is encouraging us to go to the Bible. Can we do this, church? Can we go to the Bible? It was really exciting to hear about the new Bible study small group that's forming in Hopewell. So we have one in Hopewell now. We have one down at West Point. We're going to restart the one in Beacon. We had one in Beacon. We're just trying to restart that one as well. So we'll have many opportunities to study the Bible wherever you are. And if you live far away and you want to start one, talk to me. We'll start a new one. But we have that opportunity to study together so that we may know the certainty of things that we've been taught. We also have our Wednesday night Bible studies as well, the book of Hebrews. It's an excellent, excellent book to study. And it's not too late. If you've never been here on Wednesday nights, come on out. What I love about our Bible study is we're not learning from one person. We learn from one another as we have the Bible open. And that's the power of us studying the Bible together. And the Bible is the exact truth. And so if there are certain things you're going through that you don't know, bring those questions to your Bible studies. Open up the Word together. And we pray together as well. And that's how we grow in the Lord. Amen? So here you are. So here is the prologue. As we light the hope candle, how do we absolutely know that what we're going to be opening up here in the Bible is absolutely truth? Here it is. It's all in the prologue. So here are three applications we could apply from today's text. First is we need to anchor our faith in the Word of God. Amen? Anchor your faith in God's word. God reveals himself through the word. The word is about Jesus. The word is absolute truth. So let's anchor your faith in His Word. And as we do that, let's bring our doubts into the light. Oftentimes we drift when we just rely on our feelings. So as we anchor our faith in God's Word, as we bring our doubts into the light, that's our way, that's how we could deal with making sure that we are not drifting away based on feelings. And as it is the Advent season, let's prepare for Christ. How do we prepare for Christ? By trusting in His Word. By knowing for certain who He is and knowing for certain who you are. Through His Word, God has given us the absolute certainty about Jesus. That He lived a life that you and I couldn't live. That He died a death that you and I deserve. And that He has defeated death on the cross. So by us believing in Him, by us responding to Him in faith and in trust, that we have eternal life. Amen? So church, let us place our hope in Christ Jesus. So as I'm staring at this candle that's burning, the hope candle that's burning, let's make sure that we place our hope in something certain, not like the weather or anything else, but in Christ Jesus. And may we be certain in knowing who He is. Earlier, I talked about that word, pass on. Here's one more instance of when the Apostle Paul used that word. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, when he was teaching about the Lord's Supper, he said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." What he received from the Lord, he has passed on. The authority he has passed on. So with that attitude, let us come to the table today. During the season of Advent, we're going to be doing communion every Sunday as well. Because the birth of Christ was really preparing our hearts and our minds for His second coming, but it's a reminder of why He had to come. The Apostle Paul taught us that when we partake in communion, that we are proclaiming Jesus' saving death on the cross until He returns. So let's prepare our hearts right now as we come to the table. The table is open to all believers, all who have placed their hope on Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank You for this Advent Sunday where we can gather in Your name. Thank You, Jesus, for coming here on earth by humbly obeying Your Father. And so, Lord, help us to do exactly what You've taught us through Your Word. May we proclaim Your saving death on the cross until You return. Would You set apart the bread and the cup for a holy purpose this morning? May the bread be to our faith Your body broken. May the cup be to our faith Your blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. May we do this in remembrance of You. May we place our hope in You alone, Jesus Christ. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.